for being here this evening. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us as we celebrate Jesus on Christmas Eve. What an appropriate thing to do as we kick into the holiday season. Maybe it's the very beginning for you. Maybe you're kind of in the middle of it. But my name is Nick. I'm a lead pastor here at the Grove Church. This is my wife, Heather. And we want to share a little bit with you. Go ahead and grab a seat. And we're going to have a little conversation. So take it away, lovely.
I love singing Christmas carols. It makes me so happy to be with you here on Christmas Eve and hear your voices singing out Christmas carols. And in a few minutes, we're going to continue to sing together. And we get to sing my favorite of all time line from any Christmas song ever. It's definitely way, way, way up at the top, even though there's some amazing contenders for that position.
Okay,
because
But before we do that, we wanted to share maybe some of the lyrics in Christmas songs that are a little lighthearted first, like some of the different, strange, weird lyrics or fun, zany lyrics. I was thinking about one song in particular that, to be honest, I don't enjoy. Maybe you enjoy it and you might be offended by this pick, but I'm going to go with my least favorite Christmas song, and it is I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. So some of you are booing me now, and I get it. But that song is so...
They're booing. Wait a second. You're booing because you like it? Okay.
All right. Fair enough. I don't judge you. I do, but I don't. So anyway. Okay, that's my first pick. So now you get a turn.
Okay, well, I think the most fun lines to sing of all time, and I like to sing them as fast as I possibly can, which I won't do at this moment, but it goes like this. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like... Well, you stopped.
You know.
No, you stopped.
Yeah. I think the funniest line is that Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
Can I hear an amen from parents in here? Like, yeah, so... Okay, good. All right, my next pick.
We, of course, never have felt that way. No.
Well, okay, we're butter churners and cloth makers. We homeschool our kids. That was a joke. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, our kids are never gone.
So we don't want them to go back. I don't want them to go back to school because it always is meant that I have to go back to school. So, anyway, moving on.
Okay, moving on. My next pick is going to be, actually, it's going to be a tie between two real quick. So one of them is... Sipping in Seattle's Latte Land. Can't stand that whole situation. And then the other one is probably Christmas in the Northwest. I'm like, a gift God's wrapped in green? It's always that way. I want white. I want white Christmas. I want to be in Vermont with the sergeant and all. Anyway, so, okay.
You've definitely picked some least favorites.
Sisters. Okay, different. No, I'm sorry.
Is that a least favorite, too?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, one more that I think is kind of funny is Mariah Carey's smash hit. Mm-hmm. It's epic. It's awesome. I actually love the song.
She makes $1 million a year off of royalties every year. Just
for
chilling.
Doing nothing. That's pretty amazing. I mean, writing an awesome song. But it's called All I Want for Christmas Is You, right? Okay, well, do you know, have you ever thought about the first lines of the song? I don't want a lot for Christmas.
It's a low bar.
I feel like it's kind of like a little bit of an insult in there.
So wait, when
maybe?
We were dating and you sang that to me, is that how? we're gonna have a great holiday,
take it
you guys.
As you will. So. Anyway, yeah.
Pray for us.
I think it's funny, but there's the songs we sing. We won't be singing any of those. Not even Hippopotamus tonight.
Sorry.
But the songs, the carols that we sing, have so much meaning in them. There's like depth of theology in there, but there's also a lot of lines and lyrics that we sing that have personal meaning to many of us, personal comfort and personal stories to go along with that. And so is it time for me to reveal my favorite one yet?
No, I get to reveal mine.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so on a meaningful note on some of the lyrics that I think are deep and powerful and awesome, I put from O Holy Night. I love the lyric...
You've got fans.
See, come on. Yeah, we'll go sing it in a... Have a trio out in the back. Okay, sing together. From O Holy Night, it's a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And I love that lyric because in all honesty, I feel like life can kind of beat us up. Right? Life can feel heavy and serious and so burdensome. And yet I love the confession. I love the honesty there in O Holy Night. a thrill of hope, because there is hope. And when we talk about the message of Christ and what's happened for us. So the weary world rejoices. And then I was thinking about Silent Night. And again, we're going to sing a couple of these towards the end here in a little bit. But in Silent Night, there's another lyric that I think is super meaningful. And it's Jesus, Lord at thy birth. And on one hand, maybe that doesn't seem incredibly profound. But when you think of the nature of the idea, Jesus, Lord, okay, good, great, awesome. But the idea of at thy birth, like how God wove together the tapestry of time. And you know, ordained so many different things, which we'll get into in a little bit even more so, but that Jesus was Lord at his birth. Like already, man, God was already doing something, that he is the Lord. The shepherds, you know, they come and see this child, and the wise men, they bow and give gifts because he is the Lord. So I think that's another powerful one. And then another one, and then I'll be done with this.
Because you chose three favorites, you mean?
To your one. Yes, I did.
One. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's in God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And it says, tidings of comfort and joy. And I like that lyric. It doesn't seem super profound, honestly, but I like that lyric because the general idea of it is us blessing others. Us wishing upon others tidings of comfort and joy. And really, like the way that we pray for others, the way that we encourage others, the way that we go, you know, life is heavy, life is challenging, but man, I bless you with tidings of comfort and joy. And I think that's so encouraging, again, in a world that can feel really hard sometimes. So, okay, that's my three. Your one.
So my favorite line of all time is, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, from O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it was originally just a poem that that a pastor wrote for his Sunday school class after visiting Bethlehem over a Christmas Eve, and he wanted to sort of commemorate that experience for his students, too.
Yeah. And what can seem odd, maybe, if you've ever thought about it, is like we're singing to a town, we're singing to Bethlehem, like that's weird. And yet, it's the deeper meaning behind it. Like if you really think about the lyric and what Bethlehem is, and then you get into the scriptures, which I want to talk about here in a second, but you look at Bethlehem, and on one hand, it is what it is. On another hand, God was doing something with this town. It had great implications for what would become of the event that would happen.
And it wasn't any town that would have been notable at Jesus' time. It was known for being a poor town and insignificant, not a place of beauty. The people lived in small one-room or two-room houses that were built into the hillside in caves, which I think gives meaning more to the manger story, too, when you think about that. But it was just a little town that had been prophesied about hundreds of years before Jesus came.
Yeah.
And that is what made it significant.
Yeah. When you look, again, at this lyric, and you look at this song, A Little Town of Bethlehem, the profound nature of it because, and I'm going to go back for a second, if you know the Bible at all, which many of you in here do, if you're visiting and maybe you're not super familiar, we have in the Old Testament, the time before Jesus, prophets that wrote and had an idea of pictures, windows of what God was doing, and some of it had to do with Israel back in the day, but some of it very much was future thinking, and Micah was one of those prophets, and Micah said hundreds of years before Jesus, he penned these words, and I'm just going to read, I think we have it on the screen, Micah 5 verse 2, it says, but you Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And Matthew, who followed Jesus, knew Jesus, as he's writing his gospel, quotes Micah 5 verse 2, reminding us that Jesus was that fulfillment. King Herod in the story in Matthew 2 is saying to the chief priest, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And Matthew quotes this verse directly, specifically about Bethlehem. And again, I think it's so profound when you realize, man, God knew what was going on. God put these pieces together as a reminder even today for you and I.
Another line in the song says, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a pause moment right there to just think about the everlasting light, because we're not talking about the star that appears above the manger scene oftentimes, and we talk about with the three wise men. We're talking about Jesus, the everlasting light. And John was one of the disciples. He walked with Jesus. He was a friend of Jesus. And he wrote an account of Jesus' life and his ministry. And it's a little different than the other accounts. But one of the things that he, as a friend, wants us to know is about Jesus being the light of the world. That Jesus even records the different I am statements. And he says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
And right out of the gate in his gospel, right there in the first chapter, just within a few verses, he wants to make sure we know that Jesus is the light of the world.
So, and let me expand on that for a second, but remember I mentioned Matthew quoting Micah, and John, again, the disciple, knew Jesus, goes back to the beginning. And his gospel doesn't have the Christmas story in it. If you've ever read the gospel of John, it opens up with this. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, separate from God the Father, but still God. And so this crazy puzzle. But again, John was more clear than any of the other gospel writers about who Jesus is. There's these I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And so there's a bunch of these statements, and this is a big one that to me is huge. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was with God in the beginning. And then this, through him, all things were made that have been made. So that Micah, times of old, times past. But then it says this, and in him was life, and this life, here it is, was the light of all mankind. The light pierces the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. And there's another translation, the New Living, that says it this way, and darkness can never extinguish it. And so just that idea, when you think about the darkness that sometimes wants to creep over us, the darkness that we can feel afraid of, because when things are dark, it feels scary, we can't see. We feel intimidated or overwhelmed, and even just a tiny bit of light can dispel darkness. But the idea of Jesus being the light of the world is literally this picture of not just dispelling a little bit of darkness, but coming in with a courage, coming in with a boldness, coming in with the ability to overthrow the darkness in this time in Jesus' day, but in our time and in our lives and in the world that we live in. And I think that's such a beautiful picture and a wonderful promise.
And then we're led to my favorite line. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, in him.
Yeah.
Think about it. Every hope, every longing of the heart, every desire, every disease, every heartache, every disappointment, every fear is met in Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Long ago in that little town of Bethlehem, he was the answer to it all. He is the light, the life-giving, hope-bringing, grace-offering light of the world to all of us.
Yeah.
He is the light that turns off the dark in our lives, and that he is the one and the only one that can meet all of our hopes and all of our fears, not just from this year, but all the years that we've had and all the years to come. The light of the world, the everlasting light, is profound to think about.
So your one lyric wins.
Yeah.
Is what? I mean, my lyrics are fine, your lyric wins. So
you should have picked an absolute favorite.
Just keep praying for us. We're going to sing that song here in a few moments. And then the song after that, which again, we're going to sing as well, is O Come Emmanuel, O Come Emmanuel. And again, it ties back to that idea of light, because Emmanuel, and we sang that lyric earlier in a different song, Emmanuel is literally the definition, God with us. And I would remind anybody in the room, I would tell anybody in the room, you've been here and in this church or another church, whatever, for whatever length of time, or you're new and you're just kind of here with your family, and maybe you don't know the details of all of what we're talking about, but I'm telling you that I'm telling you, there is a God who literally cares for you like crazy. Knows you better than you know yourself, better than your parent might know you because you're a kiddo, that there is a God who walks with you and wants you to understand that he cares about you deeply every moment of every hour of every single day. And so we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, and my hope is that as we talked about it, maybe the lyrics will be a little bit more meaningful for all of us. And then as we move into O Come Emmanuel, it's again that reminder of a God who wants to walk with you as you open your heart and walk with him every single day. And I love the beautiful picture of, yes, we can put up trees and celebrate Christmas, and maybe you got some gifts for your spouse or your kids, and you're going to have some fun having a bunch of food, and that's fine. But at the core of the generosity and the joy of the season really is this God who cares about us. And so as we move into singing these songs here in the next few moments, I just want to challenge you with that.
Yeah, let it be beyond just a tradition that you come on Christmas Eve and you sing a bunch of songs. Let it be beyond a moment where you're like, can we just move on and get done with the singing so we can get to the good stuff? Really think about what you're saying and let the light of the world, the everlasting light, meet you tonight in anything you're facing, in every hope and every fear. Let him be Emmanuel, God with you in it. Whatever it is, from the little things like, will my mother-in-law even like the present I got her? All the way to...
I wasn't even thinking about that. So.
Now you are. No pressure,
Sorry.
Mom.
Sorry.
All the way to the big things, like diagnosis of early onset dementia. Let him be Emmanuel, God with you, the everlasting light that turns out the darkness in your life, whatever it is. Yeah. I just want to encourage you with that. So think about, let this be a moment where you hold that all up to him tonight as we sing songs.
Yeah.
Take it in.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet again. We're gonna sing. We have a few more songs prepared with our crew back here. But I want to pray. Jesus, I really am so thankful that my life intersected this whole conversation a long time back. But God, I'm grateful for the last almost 33 years. And Lord, you have revealed yourself in profound ways that reminds me that you care. And as we talk about the hopes and fears, which everybody in this room can understand, the hopes and fears of all the years, our years, the years of all of history are met in thee, Bethlehem, tonight, because that's where the manger was. That's where the birth of Jesus took place. So even as we sing these lyrics, even as maybe some don't want to sing, but they're going to hear it, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of every single person because you do care. Lord, in the midst of a world that can feel like it's insane, we get news from all over the globe and all these things that go on that can cause such a dread. Father, let us come back to the hopes and fears of all of it, God, met way back in Bethlehem a long time ago in history, but it still applies to today. A God who is still with us, Emmanuel. Thank you for that tonight, in Jesus' name.